This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. And for those of you outside the immediate Tampa Bay area listening to the podcast, anywhere in the United States and around the world, it doesn't take much for you to think about where your go-to Hooters location is. $15 gets you a bucket of five Corona, Corona Light or Modelo bottles, and daily lunch specials starting at $6. Also, keep in mind, at my next golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour XII, Eagles, Birdies, and Parlays, our football-themed event, is coming up in a little less than a month, October 22nd. That's a Sunday afternoon at the Eagles Golf Club. Happy to confirm that the sweetheart of a calendar girl, Brooke, from Hooters, will be making an appearance at my golf tournament. And we're working on calendars and other things. So guys, if you needed another excuse to come out and play in one of my golf tournaments, it's only $70 per player. My golf tournaments always offer a lot of value. I offer two meals. I offer a unique format. I have prizes for everyone. And now we have Brooke the Hooters calendar girl making an appearance. For more information on my golf tournaments, just email me. I don't have a lot of tee times to sell. This event will sell out, but email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Again, we're going at the Eagles Golf Club on October 22nd, and Brooke has basically said she would love to work the golf tournament, so we're going to have her out there and hopefully have some calendars as well. All right, time for some fantasy football stuff as I record this on Friday morning, looking ahead to the Week 4 Sunday. And just a touch on the Monday game, because we obviously will have the Monday podcast for you once we get to that point. Just a quick look back at the Thursday night game. You're obviously concerned about Devontae Adams going forward, although Mike McCarthy said that everything seemed positive as it related to Adams. You know, that Trevathan player for the Bears, he used to be with the Broncos. He's sort of a dumber Vontaze Burfict. That's what he is. I still remember him making a big play and dropping the ball at the 2-yard line before running in the end zone with Denver a number of years ago. It just seems like a lot of stupid things follow Trevathan around. More than just dirty play. Yeah, so I'll just refer to him as a dumber version of Vontaze Burfict, and last night was another example of that. As far as Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, the snaps were roughly 2-1, Howard over Cohen. There is at least an expectation the Bears switch quarterbacks next week. This isn't all on Glennon, but clearly just Glennon doesn't look the part in Chicago. He just doesn't with what he has to work with right now and also his self-inflicted turnovers. It just seems bad for him. So for Howard and Cohen, I understand if you're playing Howard because you drafted him so high, but I wouldn't get overexcited about Cohen right now. It's not like you're cutting Cohen because he is getting plenty of snaps and he does have the ability to break up big plays. But remember, it's hard to make cases the majority of the time for a bad running back on a bad team. And the Bears just are a bad team. Aaron Jones, depending on Ty Montgomery's situation with the ribs, it looks like Jamal Williams was kind of in and out of there with his opportunity to show that he deserved that that job. If Montgomery can't go forward, Grandon Williams got hurt as well. But Aaron Jones might be someone just to keep an eye on. I don't know yet because we haven't played the Sunday and the Monday games. Aaron Jones is the hot waiver wire pickup. But again, there are those teams in fantasy football where you just want a piece of their offense, and Green Bay is one of those teams. So I would understand if you're looking ahead to waivers after this week, and if the news on Ty Montgomery isn't good, that you might want to pick up Aaron Jones. But at this point, he's no better than an RB3 type flex play. But you do have bye weeks coming up. And bye weeks this year, as much as any in fantasy football, are going to impact you. Because there aren't as many bye weeks. You will likely have multiple players that are on bye week at the same time, at least twice, if not three times. And I'm not talking about streaming defenses or streaming a kicker. No, your running backs, your wide receivers, and probably your number one quarterback. So it's going to make things more difficult. The problem is you can't stash guys just for bye weeks without dumping other players. So we'll get into that more next week with the handling of bye weeks, because this season is a little bit different. All right, let's look ahead to Sunday a little bit. And glancing at Patrick Daugherty's RotoPat rankings on RotoWorld, some things that stood out. Who's the number three quarterback this week behind the obvious Brady and Rodgers, who sort of go back and forth exchanging who's number one? And it's Drew Brees, interestingly enough, in the London matchup against the Miami Dolphins. Last week we had another bad football game, good for fantasy owners of some Jaguars and Jaguar fans and those who had the Jaguars either in Vegas or in their weekly pools. I think the way these London games go, and I know there have been some exceptions to this, it just seems like, and I don't watch a lot of the London games. I just don't. I understand and even was one of the first to talk about creating a new TV window, and it makes sense to do it in London with the time change. But honestly, I'd rather watch fantasy football now in the hours leading up to 1 o'clock on ESPN2 with some really good people there who know how to talk the game and talk fantasy, and it's just a fun show. I've watched it for years as they switched hosts from Robert Flores to Sarah Walsh and now another new host. But it seems like in London, the minute a team gets behind, they start thinking about, well, let's just go home. There are exceptions, but that's, I think, the key in the London game, identifying the team that's going to get off to the fast start. There doesn't seem to me to be a lot of motivation to really dig in, make it a competition, come from behind. More than anything else, it seems like the type of game where if a team gets down early and things don't go their way, their mentality is, ugh, that flight home is going to be so long, and that's all they're thinking about. So, if you're, I know Patrick Daugherty is thinking that New Orleans could very well be. Now, Drew Brees is going to play hard all the time. He's not as effective all the time. We're now coming up on it's 8 years since Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. Eight. And generally, it's almost as much miss as hit for Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans in recent years. But Patrick Daugherty did rank him this week as the number three quarterback, which is always something I pay attention to. Who's behind Rodgers and Brady? Some of that has to do with the return of Willie Snead. I would say it impacts those of you who are Ted Ginn owners, but it's not like Ginn has done a ton. He did have a touchdown against his former team last week. I still think Ginn is a good fit for the New Orleans offense. He's just off to a slow start. But the Saints are certainly off to a slow start. Their backfield is mixing touches for three different backs. It's not like Kobe Fleener has taken off. Not that I expected that after last year's disappointment. New Orleans offense is still potent. Really, the only, I'd say, the best guy is Michael Thomas, even though most people think he's off to a slow start. The volume actually and the production is still pretty decent. Russell Wilson is back up in the weekly rankings after last week's performance, although the Doug Baldwin groin injury sort of tempers big expectations for Russell Wilson this week, although he is getting the Colts. And the Colts, while they have shown a little more sign of life, and for you T.Y. Hilton owners, given you a reason to play T.Y. Hilton, not much else. Dak Prescott is up in the rankings after his Monday night game against Arizona, where he averaged so much per completion against a Ram defense. That might be a fringe shootout game, Cowboys and Rams. I'm still a little skeptical of the Cowboys' run blocking and the offensive line overall with the two changes based on two positions that were made off of last year. I think that is the Dallas Cowboys' issue as much as anything right now, in their inability of that offensive line to handle the way defenses are better prepared for Elliott and Prescott. And then Carson Palmer is actually up to number 7 in the Patrick Daugherty Roto-World rankings this week because he is expected to be in a shootout. We'll get to the shootouts in a moment. Running back wise, I've touched on Ezekiel Elliott. There are too many times Ezekiel Elliott touches the ball, and there are multiple guys literally closing in on him. I think it's a combination of the Cowboys being too predictable with their play calling, and the offensive line, in particular the right side of that offensive line, even when they bring in a couple of tight ends. To one or two tight ends on that right side to sort of supplement the blocking. It's just not working. Todd Gurley, welcome back to the top five. A top five running back this week, speaking of that matchup against the Dallas Cowboys off the huge game in last week's Thursday night game. And just very quietly, I mean, loudly, Gurley fell out of being an RB1 last week. The conversation was more, well, do I even bother playing this guy? Now you're not only playing him, but he's one of the top five running backs in fantasy football. Off the dud game last week for every Miami Dolphin, perhaps no more than Jay Ajayi, Dolphins in that game against New Orleans. Yeah, I'd play Ajayi this week, but you better hope he hits on some big runs early on, because as much as I really like Adam Gase as a coach, and I always have to remind myself the Dolphins were a playoff team last year, even though they lost their starting quarterback at the end of last season, you kind of wonder if this season's going to go the same way, that it's a good football team that just doesn't have the right starting quarterback, and you wonder if Tannehill was that guy in the first place. You're playing Ajayi this week. You're just really hoping for a good first 15 minutes out of the Dolphins so you get production out of Ajayi, and the Dolphins are interested in playing that football game and not thinking about the long flight back to South Florida. Let's talk about some wide receivers a little bit. Last week was a week where and we sort of led into it, where if you had a big-time wide receiver and they haven't been producing for you, that this was the week that they would show up. And they did. Most wide receivers, even T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant got in the end zone. Doug Baldwin had 15 targets and I think caught 10 of them. So it was Odell Beckham Jr. with the couple of touchdowns against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think what we're looking at, it just feels a little different. I know it's only 3 weeks, but the season goes fast. In previous years, it always felt to me that you could get a good option at wide receiver to play as your third wide receiver, a flex type wide receiver, or in a league where you play three, that you could sort of do it on a week-to-week basis, and there were plenty of wide receivers to go around. I don't feel that way as much through 3 weeks. And there are two reasons for that. One, offense has been down. It came back up in week three. And also, the top wide receivers are getting enough of the volume where it leaves less to spread around to other guys. We'll even talk about New England here in a little bit. So if you have a big-time wide receiver, I think at least through these first 3 weeks, even though you've had some down games, there's more value in them than you think because of the lack of balls that these perceived wide receiver threes are getting. And it just seems tougher to find wide receivers on the waiver wire and going to be tougher even in these bye weeks coming up to fill out your starting lineup. You want the volume. I mean, guys like DeAndre Hopkins, more targets than any other wide receiver. I spent a lot of time last week on the podcast because some of you even followed up with me via email about Golden Tate. And Golden Tate paid off, and you know, we still have a lot of questions. Okay, maybe it wasn't a touchdown, but with the way that game ended with Detroit against Atlanta and the mandatory runoff, Golden Tate was this close to having two touchdowns in that game. Clearly, the guy Matthew Stafford knew to get the ball to in a clutch situation. I believe he's either third in receptions or third in targets. It might be third in receptions. So he's a guy that if you own him, you got to play him. So Chris Hogan's situation. Let me talk about the Patriots here because Brandon Cooks is coming off the big week. And some of you even emailed me and said, hey, I'm getting trade offers involving Brandon Cooks. Should I take him? You're going to get owners who are going to try to, if they're trying to trade you a player, they're doing it for three reasons. One, they do need something at another position. So if they're trying to trade you, say, Brandon Cooks for a running back, they need a running back. The two other reasons they would offer you a trade is, one, they're selling a guy high off a big game. I did it last year. Off the Julio Jones 300-yard game. I didn't do it the next week. 2 weeks later, though, I traded him for Le'Veon Bell. Straight up. Great deal for me. The other reason they would trade you someone is because they're just worried. They're worried, like some of these DeMarco Murray trade offers. They're worried that I don't want to have him in a month. I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't know if he's still going to be healthy. I don't know how many touches he's going to get. So this came up as someone shot me a trade offer over the weekend. And in the end, I think they turned down, and I just gave him the info. And honestly, I'm kind of glad he turned it down because he already has Chris Hogan. You know, at this point, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, you can look at the weekly rankings and say, yeah, Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver one and Chris Hogan is more of a wide receiver two slash flex. But Chris Hogan's volume and his role in that Patriot offense, pretty consistent. About as consistent as you're going to find. I mean, Brandon Cooks hasn't been consistent. He's had a week three game. Amendola comes back, didn't affect Chris Hogan. Thrown out of the backfield doesn't affect Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan's a nice player if you own him. He really is. And, you know, one of those guys, if you don't have another piece of that Patriot offense, that's a nice guy to play at your third wide receiver at the flex position. Second straight tough week here for the Raiders. And the last week was sort of a dose of reality and a look at the big picture for the Raiders. Bad game on Sunday night in D.C. Bad game. they weren't ready for the Redskins' best shot. And that was probably about as close to the best shot of the Redskins as you're going to get. And granted, Kirk Cousins is still adjusting to someone new calling the plays. But Redskins played really well in that football game. Oakland had nothing. They didn't have a counter move. This looks like another bad matchup for the Raiders. You have Crabtree with a chest injury. Jack Del Rio has openly talked about how Amari Cooper needs to catch the football. You have the head coach now publicly talking about this. I don't know if it solves the problem as much as depending on what was going on in Amari Cooper's head makes it worse. I don't remember Cooper dropping these kind of balls at Alabama. Tougher matchup for David Carr. I think Patrick Daugherty had him down in the 20s, where it's almost like maybe you're not even starting David Carr in a two-quarterback league this week just because Denver's defense has been that good. Yeah, they lost to Buffalo last week, but that's because Tyrod Taylor was running the football more than throwing it. Marshawn Lynch has been eh. Aaron Cook did get in the end zone last week. He had a garbage touchdown. Good call by one of the podcast listeners who emails me in terms of a daily play. And the Raiders' pass defense is bad. They may have one of the top three defensive players in the National Football League in Khalil Mack. I know Collinsworth openly apologized on behalf of his alma mater, the University of Florida, how Mack, as a Florida high school player, was not recruited by any state of Florida school. And that's, but he wasn't recruited by a school, prominent schools from other states either. The fact that he ends up at Buffalo. But the Raiders defense, I often, as an NBA fan, I often like to identify really good players on bad NBA teams. Anthony Davis comes to mind as one. Khalil Mack might just be a really good defensive player on a really bad defense. But there are other bad defenses out there, and that leads us to look at four potential shootouts. I think Cowboys-Rams would be on some people's list for a shootout game. I'm just not so sure. It's still the Rams. The Cowboys' defense has shown some life, not necessarily in the Denver game, but they were on the field the entire time. And I still have some concerns about the Cowboys' offensive line and maybe Prescott overthinking some things on, as Tony Romo puts it, RPO, run-pass option. So I'll leave Cowboys-Rams out and give you four other potential shootout games based on some of the information from some respected analysts where basically if I'm in these shootout games, it's if you're on the fence about playing a player and you have one in a shootout game and one in a non-shootout game, you take the shootout game. Or as Steve Gallo always likes to say, pick the player you want to root for. Well, you're rooting for points, right? That's all you want. You want to see a player in your starting lineup when you're watching Red Zone Channel. You want to see Scott Hansen throw to that team, and then you hope your player is on the field. All right, so four shootout games. Miami-New Orleans, maybe more of a one-sided shootout with some garbage time on one side, where if you're a Dolphins owner, you'll take a garbage time touchdown from Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry. If the Dolphins decide to show up, Drew Brees won't quit. You know, maybe he'd get a garbage-tied touchdown to a Willie Snead or throwing out of the backfield to Alvin Kamara. But Miami-New Orleans has that look. It might be more one-sided, but there could be some garbage-time scores for the team that's thinking about the flight. Chargers and Eagles looks like it could be one of those games. A lot of conversation about Melvin Gordon this week. Clearly, the Chargers are managing Melvin Gordon's knee just so he feels good. I think right now he still feels good enough about it to continue performing. It's just one of those that it does bother him, but it's not enough to keep him out of games right now. It's one thing to miss that Veterans Day of practice, even though he's so young, and taking him out of the game second half last week with it pretty much out of hand might have been a good move overall for Gordon owners and just the Chargers overall because he's a good weapon. From the Philadelphia standpoint, Wendell Smallwood was very popular on waivers this past week. I understand that. Still, the chances are in 3 weeks, you will forget Wendell Smallwood's name. I've seen this before with guys like Wendell Smallwood, although the Darren Sproles broken arm may lend a little more credibility to a Smallwood pickup. Washington, Kansas City, I believe that's the Monday night game, so we'll be able to touch on that in the next podcast. Washington, Kansas City could produce a lot of points. Chiefs, you know, I bring up the Raiders. Chiefs pass defense is down. Some of that could be losing Eric Berry on the back end. So Cousins had a decent week, threw it around a little bit. Most people are thinking the problem with Washington right now is they don't have a number one wide receiver. Terrell Pryor, problems with dropping balls. Jamison Crowder, production down. Dotson finally made a first-round draft pick type play, but can he do more of that, or was that more of a one-off type thing? It was a great play, just going up and getting the ball in front of that Raider DB and taking it into the end zone. And, of course, right now with the Chiefs, Hunt's the top back in fantasy football. I'm a Tyreek Hill owner. I want it to be a Tyreek Hill game. If you're a Kelce owner, you want it to be a Kelce game. It seems like it's one or the other. But there will be points in Washington and Kansas City on Monday night. And the other one that should have a number of fantasy points to go around is San Francisco and in Arizona. That's why Palmer's ranking is up. Hyde is a top 10 running back. Larry Fitzgerald is just outside the top 10 in wide receivers. So there's enough to go on there. I have a feeling the Niners might be a pretty popular team on the upcoming bye weeks, depending on their matchup. If you're just looking to grab a guy wide receiver-wise that might get you something, or even stream Brian Hoyer to get you something in these bye weeks, more Garcon than Hoyer, just because most people aren't rostering 49ers. But once we get into these bye weeks, you look at the Niners and say, well, they have no defense, so they're going to have to score points. I'll take some garbage time points. Marquise Lee, Mercedes Lewis was the beneficiary of the blowout in London for the Jaguars against the Ravens, but Marquise Lee, with Allen Robinson out, that still seems to be where we're looking for the garbage time touchdowns. Although, Jaguars are the only team in the NFL, top five, I think, in what, scoring offense and top five in scoring defense. I don't think it's going to last, but for what it's worth, they're the only one in the top five in both categories. All right, remember, you can email me any unique questions about matchups this week, who you're looking at, you know, A or B or C in starting. I'm not going to set your lineup. All right, so the type of email that I don't want to see is Todd, Hopkins or Floyd? No, not Floyd. Hopkins or Hogan? Here's the way I'm going to answer that. I'm going to talk to you about Hopkins, and I'm going to talk to you about Hogan, and then you make the final call. Don't email me back and then say, well, who would you start? No, I don't set your lineups. I don't. You set your own lineup. I'm happy to discuss your situation and the players that you bring into the conversation. You don't set my lineups. I don't set yours. It's your team. Email me any questions involving players on your roster. I'm getting some very good emails involving trades. And most of them that you email me about is someone offering you a trade. Just always remember what Billy Beane said about trades. When you feel you have to make a trade, you're already screwed. It's kind of like what Mark Cuban once said on Shark Tank. If you walk into the Shark Tank, you're looking for the sucker. And if you don't see one, the sucker is you. So I like that people are coming at you with trade offers because it shows you have value on your roster, and then you can look at it from a position of strength. I'm not saying don't make a trade offer. I was the one who made the trade offer last year, offering Julio Jones 2 weeks removed from 300 yards for Le'Veon Bell. I was selling high and getting as consistent of a performer at a need position. I just needed an RB1. Boom. There he is. Get him. And I got him. So send me those trade offers. We'll go over them. Send me waiver thoughts. Or guys, I love what Matthew Berry came up with recently called Welcome to Dumpsville. Leave the graphics, guys. You may think it's mean, but I don't know. I thought it was funny. It's fantasy football, for crying out loud. You can't use highlights on the show, or you don't. Players that you've stopped playing, and you're like, well, do I even hang on to them on my roster? Once we get into these bye weeks, you might not. It might be a case of where these other teams in your league aren't rushing to pick them up. Okay, so the email you send all this stuff to is ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I have responded to every email, as long as you haven't sent an immediate follow-up, through the first 3 weeks of the season, and I just responded to a couple last night during the Thursday night football game. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Remember, for those of you in the Tampa Bay area, if you haven't played in one of my golf tournaments, we're adding the sweetheart calendar girl, Brooke, from the Hillsboro location to make an appearance at my next golf tournament. For information on my next golf tournament, email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com or just mention it when you email the fantasy football address. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. By the way, the new Hooters calendar comes out this weekend, featuring Brooke, who waited on us and was so nice to us at our fantasy football drafts at her location at the Hillsboro store where our friend Bobby Pena works. Go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99 all day, every day, and daily lunch specials starting at $6. I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We will talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in.